Okay. Let's start again.
So one more time.
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Close your eyes. I want to read you a poem by Hugo Ball. Second stanza. Zimzim or Lala, Zimzim or Lala, Zimzim Zanzibar, Zimzala Zom. Elivantalim, Brusala Bulomin, Brusala Bulomin, Trompeta. Velo da Bang, Bond Afalo, Perzami Afalo, Perzami Lengado Tor. Gajama Bimbalo, Glandridi, Glasala, Zintata, Pimpalo, Ugru Ugu. Viola Laxato, Viola Zimbramen, Viola Uli, Pulaji Malu.
So again, mine is the monologue from Annie Hall. So there's an old joke. Two elderly women are at a Catskill Mountain resort. One of them says, "Boy, the food at this place is really terrible." The other one says, "Yeah, I know, in such small portions." Well, that's essentially how I feel about life. It's full of loneliness and misery and suffering and unhappiness, and it's all over far too quickly. The other important joke for me is one that's usually attributed to Groucho Marx. But I think it originally appears in Freud's Wit and its relationship to the unconscious. It goes like this, now I'm paraphrasing. I would never want to belong to any club that would have someone like me as a member. That's the key joke in my adult life in terms of my relationships to women. So lately the strangest things have been going through my mind because I just turned 40 and I'm not one of these people who's like afraid of getting older, but I don't know, I'm not worried about aging. I'm not one of those characters. Although I am balding slightly on top, that's about the worst thing you can say about me. I think I'm gonna get better as I get older though. I think I'm going to be the balding, virile type as opposed to the distinguished gray, for instance. Unless, of course, I'm neither of those two, unless I'm one of those people who has saliva dribbling out of their mouth, who wanders into a cafeteria holding a shopping bag, screaming about socialism. So Annie and I just broke up. I still can't get my mind around it. I keep sifting through the pieces of the relationship, reflecting on my life, and it doesn't make any sense. I can't figure out where the screw-up occurred. A year ago, we were in love. And you know, it's funny, I'm not a morose type. I'm not a depressive character. I was even a reasonably happy kid.
Image. Cover letter. Dear sir, Image. Cover letter. Dear sir, this cover letter has all its curves well varnished. Non-toxic liquid holds the dust away. Well made is not the best description for just a sympathetic smile. This cover letter, long cloth holds, folds, and folds by lucid voice. When a young girl steps on yards of grass, nature is under sexual economy, and who is able to count?
Just a tiny teensy teensy bit, and me, I go up there, and it drips, drips, drips underground, and more, and more, more, more. But can you just stop talking, please? I need to explain something. I tried to tell you about the topography of learning. Horizontal, horizontal, vertical, horizontal, vertical, Google, 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 instant, search, no waiting. Oh, don't say stuff like that. You said it's so vague, you said, in a way you stormed. Then later, still arguing with you in my head, I got stuck, confused mathematics with physics, and couldn't remember the third dimension. Hold on, baby, hold on to me. Whatever will be. The future is ours to see. When you hold on to me, I said, hold on. It's not just the money I'm talking about, it's the dimensions, it's the lack of a physical product, it's the voice of the author, it's the original writing, the original reading, the process of listening, the process of talking. It's what happens to what we know when we say it out loud. Which dimension is that in? Which dimension is the sound in? David Burns asked himself, do I write stuff for specific rooms? Do I have a place, a venue in mind when I write? Is that a kind of model for creativity? Do we all make things with a venue, a context in mind?
Imagine that this font inscribed on the page is a curiously inflected breath of warm sound traveling on the breeze. Imagine that this etched and articulated string of text circumnavigating the pages is a rhythmic and continuous tunnel of sound jogging towards your expectant ears. Imagine this lucid image, a waking dream given over to you wholly and instantaneously, is an archaic riddle abstractly filling your mind and proposing answers to its own queries, untangling itself with the unfolding of passing time. Imagine these pages that shuffle through your fingers are the transitory seconds and minutes that flicker across your interior tabula rasa. Imagine the time it takes you to read this is the time it takes you to listen to it. Can you hear us?
Can you hear us? So, hi, we are for Time Magazine. I'm Georgia Sagri, Gillian Sneed, Sarah Zatzik, and Christine Rath-Selly. So I'm gonna read the boring stuff now, which is more about what we are. We are a sound magazine. We can find us on the website, our website, which is www.magazineforte.com. And Forte is a sound magazine, a magazine Forte. We don't know how to say it, Magazine Forte or Forte Magazine. Anyway, and Magazine Forte was born out of a hunger for deeper and more digressive exploration of subject matter and a rigid curiosity about the effect of this exploration if it were rooted entirely through sound. Forte is not a critique or response or advances in personal electronics and technology. On the other hand, podcasting and the web does give us freedom, creating ease of distribution, ease of existence, making it accessible to everyone. We imagine our listeners copying issues and distributing them in their own manner. Forte is an open plan for how information can be independent from an image identity, this being our primary frustration with printed forms of publications. We are witnessing the control of advertisement over the critical aspect of writers, transforming the positions of certain magazines, which we had an appreciation for in the past. This is an aspect of the current printed world. We want to say thank you, but we don't want that anymore. We are pro accents and translations. Our goal is dynamic groups of diverse opinions. What you hear in Forte, if you are willing to invest time, is the sighs, pauses, breaths, and uncomfortable silences that occur in communication. We are allowing contributors to develop their pieces in exploratory ways that rarely conform to structures accepted for interviews, features, reviews, etc. What we aim to deliver is a few minutes of life in all its chaotic beauty, while also allowing our listeners to create their own image of the cosmos. Sound is intimate and vulnerable. It can be easily dismissed, but it does not apologize for that. So we're looking for writers with a strong sense of how they experience the world. We're looking for professionals that can articulate and reflect their stand and practices without apologizes. We want to hear something we haven't heard before that introduces us to the sights and sounds of somewhere we have not been. This place can be another country, another perceptive or perspective. Ultimately, we want our contributors to play with the medium and not be constrained by categories of art, journalism, or even academic inquiry. Like life, a good piece should bleed across all of these categories, but be anchored by good narration, purpose, and approach, and imagination. Our concept is distinctly global, and neither the voice nor the audience of Forte will be educated, upper class, urban set. It will be also youth of limited means who at the same time have some access to technology, as well as internationally minded folk who want deeper readings of life in other countries than the skeletal sound bites provided by the rapidly dismissing news media. Forte has the same format a magazine would, though without the images, and narrated instead of read as text. Each release has a theme that provides an anchor for the pieces to attach themselves to, thus making the publication a cohesive whole in each of its installments. We believe that Forte exists for those people who expect something more from a magazine, an experience which brings perspectives of the world. It is a magazine for a subject in constant movement, who experiences a magazine through sound, various translations, deeper readings outside of normal abilities. Our listeners are first of all travelers of time who open borders. Our major future idea is to open also the language. So the magazine is not going to be only in English. So a lot of our writers will write in their native language and speak their native language. So I'm going to read the contributors for respect. The contributors for the first issue were Sarah Sessig, Christine Rasselli, Shrestha Reed Premath, Joseph Strau, Arlen Austin, Tyler Coburn, Douglas Bodwhite, Cara Benedetto, Cici Ducciu, Jeffrey Perkins, Jennifer Pietschko, Amy Owen, and Liz Hirsch. And for the issue two, it was Brian Clifton, Catherine Chasky, Cara Benedetto, Elizabeth Gross, Sarah Sessig, Jennifer Pietschko, Thomas Torres Cordova, Sarah Jacek, Lev Kalman, and Whit Hall. And for issue three, Zaldi and Dimitri Komis, Gerhard Seff, Charlotte Schochner, Alex Gardenfell in conversation with Jen Brill, Philip Klemichel, Eric Angles, Blythe Sheldon, Jennifer Pietschko, Asher Penn, Clayton Deutsch, Jakob Sillinger, Shinsuke Aso, and Seth Price. He gave us his sound pieces. And I want to thank also the editors at large, Jackie Carpenter, who is in Baku, Augustin Zanakos, who is editor at large in Athens, Philip Kleinmicher, who is editor at large in Berlin, Rebecca Thor, who is editor at large in Berlin and Malmo. So we open for questions, if you have questions.
Comments.
And comments.